Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. At the 3:30 Bible class this afternoon, Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the search to find in the Scriptures the answer to the question, are there different rewards in heaven? Please refer to your bulletin for other activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during this coming week and next Sunday. We will have our quarterly congregational business meeting next Sunday, February 11th, and we would encourage you to attend that meeting. There will be a deacons meeting this afternoon. This evening after the 5 o'clock service. So after the evening service, the deacons will meet for a short meeting. There are in the kitchen new directories for the year 2007. And so if we have a very good looking directory this year, and we thank those that helped make it. And those are available in the kitchen, which you can pick up after the service. Our scripture reading for the month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 33, verses 1 and 2. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 70, Holy, Holy, Holy. Continue our worship with hymn number 470, Jesus is All the World to Me.
Thank you.
Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 365, Are Ye Able, Said the Master.
Our Heavenly Father, by your providence, we live and work and have our families. By your care, we have a supply of our life. And by your mighty hand, we live. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for touching our life in such a very wonderful way. Father, we not only appreciate the physical energies, the temporary things that you allow to have, but we do appreciate with all our hearts and with all our minds the understanding of Jesus Christ. There is only one God and one Savior. There is only one Spirit, said your word. And Father, we are thankful that as we read the Bible, you were pleased to give us light and life and love so that we can understand you and live by you. As a congregation, we gather together today to praise your name, to understand more and more your word so that we can shape our life like the life of Jesus. So that not only we pray for us, Father, but we pray for every church they open the door as they teach the Word of God. That the people of God may assimilate, may drink of that Word until their life is transformed. And America will see again the splendor of your glory. As a church body, Father, we do have from time to time people who are sick. And we pray for Loretta Forrest, Father, as I visited last week, she is very tender. She is at the very end of life after a long sickness with cancer. But her spirit is high as when she was young, that I met her 30 years ago. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Loretta Forrest. Father, we pray for Mike Claude, his good grandfather, is dying. And he just wrote an email because he understands that he's going to miss him. But Father, thank you that his grandfather led him to God and knew God. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray for Mary and Jerry West in Costa Rica as they live there and they have the natural things that the body carry on as we get older. And we pray that you touch their life, that they may receive your comfort and your peace. We pray for Anne Ferretto, that she may get strength, and that the doctors, as they review her, she may find a solution so that she can live without pain. And the same with Donald McDowell, Father, that we are thankful for the surgery, and now we pray that the next event in his life will be again another success by your mighty hand. We pray for Norma Perez as I visit in the hospital. That's David Mills' mother, a father in a very delicate situation. We pray that you touch her life and strengthen her body. We are grateful, Father, that you provide for our ministry through your people. And they provide because they love you. And so, Father, we pray that you bless the offering and that you bless the giver. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you.
Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. That is in page 676. And today we're going to talk about love and do we have it? Now, if we have love, you know, it's a pleasing aroma to God. But this is what the Bible says. When we do not have love, doesn't matter what we're doing, this is how God sees it. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, what does that work out to in real life? Choir. Without love, this is what our worship is like to God. This is what our good works are like to God. Go.
Jesus loves me this way, oh Lord. Oh,
okay. You guys get the point? That's what it's like. Look at here. Look at this. The second part says that if we don't have love, we're nothing. We think we're ambassadors for Christ? Not unless you got love. And the third part says it profits us nothing. We're not doing anything good in our lives unless we have love, the love of God in everything that we do. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Chris, for those words, the evangelistic report. Please take your Bibles now and turn to Paul's epistle to the Colossians. And if you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 694. We will be reading Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 29. So will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 29. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for reconciling us to yourself by sending the Lord Jesus Christ to be our substitute, so that his great work, his life, death, and resurrection, was necessary to present us blameless before him. We thank you for such a gracious gospel and the gift of faith to enable us to believe it. We pray for our church body that you would bless us in proclaiming it by all the means that you have provided. May our lives reflect obedience to what we believe. We pray for your servant now, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, that you would bless his teaching from the Scriptures. Bless all that hear with understanding, those of us here and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may not only be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
As we look to the month of February, unbelievable. We are here on the second month of the year 2007. Our series of studies in the morning service will concentrate on Christianity Today, which is a general presentation of the Christian life in a practical format. We are not talking about the two great divisions of Christianity, Roman Catholicism and the Protestant Church. We will not talk about that. We will talk about Christianity as is taught in the Bible, so that we all unite our hearts and minds. In the evening service, I have made your dinner. This is just the breakfast. In the evening service, for your dinner, we're going to have a very heavy meal like we do in Latin America and in Europe. Your heavy meal is at dinner time. And so we're going to go through the issues of theology of the local assembly, as is translated in the Scripture. You need to know what a local church really is. And I'm going to go from the very beginning in detail and how God conceived them, and then the offices of the church, and who should be in the church, a pastor or a priest or whatever. We're going to look in the Scripture, the entire thing. And so by the end of the month of February, we have a package. In the morning, your breakfast will give you food and how to live as a Christian. And in the evening, why you live as a Christian. And so I hope that this will strengthen the life of each one of us as we review again what we know already, but as we review again from the Scripture. So this morning, our study will take us to Christianity and you, or Christianity and us. As I was reading in the book of histories of the Christian church, Reginald Wallace was a great Britain evangelist in the 1700s, and he used to define the word Christian as follows. And now Andrew is going to turn on the overhead projector to help me. First, he spelled the word Christian, as you see. Andrew is going to move the paper for us. And you see the word Christian there. That's what he did. He said, here is what Christianity is. He spelled the word Christian. And then he took the letter A from the end of the word and put it at the beginning. And Andrew is going to show you how that looks like it. All right? Move the paper all the way down. And here's what it looks like it if you take the letter A and you put it at the beginning. Looks like A, Christ in. Now move your eyes to your Bible, to Colossians. Thank you, Andrew. You can turn off the overhead. Now, please, turn in your Bible to the book of Colossians in chapter 1, verse 27. And if you use the Bible that is in the pew, it's in page 693. And by the way, this text is wherever you use a Catholic Bible or a Protestant Bible, this text is the same. All right? Colossians 1, 27. And I read the scripture from the old King James, and I maybe make some modifications immediately to show you how soft and how wonderful is this text. Remember what this evangelist came out. He said, if we take the letter A and put it at the beginning, Christianity is a Christ in. Now, here is what the Bible says in Colossians 1:27, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you modify a little bit the text to make it smooth in English, we'll read in this way, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of his glory, of this mystery, because it was a mystery for Israel. A Jewish person gets surprised when we tell them that we love the Old Testament and that we love Isaac and Jacob and Abraham, the fathers of the faith. They look on it. It's a mystery for them, for the Jewish people. Christ is a mystery. The Messiah is a mystery. And so God said here, which is the mystery, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm so glad that God don't say the Roman Catholic Church is a mystery, the Protestant Church is a mystery. He said Christ in you, the hope of glory. A Christian then is a man or a woman who has Christ living in him or in her. Simple like that. A Christian is a man or a woman who has Christ living in her or in him. Why this? Well, the Bible teaches some ugly things too. And if you move your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, page 688, if you are in Colossians, you have to move your Bible to the left, page 10688, and Ephesians 2:1, the Bible teaches that mankind by nature is dead spiritually. Mankind by nature is dead spiritually. Look at what the Bible said. And you, he had made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. He's talking to living people. He's talking to people who are alive. He's not talking to dead bodies. And he said, you, the church of Ephesus, which is in Greece, you, God made you alive because you were dead. It's not that they were born dead. They were born dead spiritually without that kind of life in God. In other words, mankind is devoid of divine, of that particular divine element which makes him alive to God. When a baby is born, he is missing that power inside. That part that makes that baby alive with God. And so God's answer to this basic deficiency at birth is life as it is in Christ. So this morning, let me show you life in Christ according to the scripture. And don't look to anybody to judge the other person. Don't remember anybody who is not living like that. Just remember yourself. All right? And before I develop the lesson, I want to say this as a pastor, senior pastor of the church. I know that Chris will never be a choir director in this church. What a mess. All right. Okay. All right. I knew what was coming up. He and I meet on Wednesday and we talk about it. What's going to happen on Sunday. But I don't know. I know he wanted to get across the point. Life without love is like that. And it's true, no? Life without love is like that. But you will never be a choir director for sure. All right. There are three things that I want to explain to you about the Christian life. And as I do this, I also preach it to me. I know above you. I want you to know. I am not above you, ladies and gentlemen. Also, those who are listening over the radio from San Jose all the way to Salinas and Highway 5 and whatever. All those who are listening in the world through the internet. I am not above anybody. I'm just with you. And so this lesson is for you and it's for me. So that we grow up and put a shoulder in each other to help each other to live the Christian life. First, I want to show you the majesty of the Christian life. And I want you don't have to write because I provide an outline of this lesson in the bulletin so that later on you can look in your home if you want to. But I want you to listen to the scripture. The majesty of this life in Christ. That's when a Christian or when myself or sometimes get depressed. Boy, I get upset. Not about the depression. I get upset because the Christian life is a majestic life. I'll show it here. First, it's a creative life. Look with me in Colossians 1. Go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Look at what the Bible says about the Christian life. Talking about Jesus, Paul, and he says these words. He is the image of the invisible God. You understand that? We don't see God, but when the people saw Christ on earth, they saw God. The firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, your Bible says powers, all things were created through him and for him. And look in verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In other words, here is a statement which declares that all that God represents is embodied in what Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is nothing less than God himself. Now remember 127. Christ in you. So there is a creative life that you have and I have as a Christian. Then there is a redemptive life. Let's keep on reading in Colossians. Let's read verse 18. And look at it. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. All right? You see that? And look at verse 20 now. And by him, to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the story of the gospel. The gospel is this, that in Christ Jesus, we have peace with God. In Christ Jesus, and in Christ Jesus alone, we are related to God. And God knew how bad our deficiency was at birth. That no doctor on this earth can put a finger on it. So he had to zero in himself and embody your body with his presence. Otherwise, we all will be lost. This is the story of the gospel. We can be reconciled to God, and he is the head of the new body, the church. Now, this is what the Bible says. What is the head of the Baptist church? Has to be Christ. What is the head of any church in the world? Has to be Christ if it's a church of God. You cannot put anybody else at the head. Has to be Christ. Some people said, to me, when I said this, he said, but Christ is dead. No, sir, Christ is alive. That's the difference. Don't replace a person who is alive, all right? This is true today. as the majesty of Christ's redemptive life is being displayed in every part of the world by you. See, what this scripture is saying to me is this. People cannot see God, but they see you. And when they see you, they said, boy, there is a God. That put all of us ashamed, don't we? We really, Christianity is more serious than signing a paper and being a member of a local church, whether it's Catholic church or Protestant church. It's more serious than that. Christianity is having the life of Christ in you. Not that you acquire that life. God gave it to you. Zero in you as you read the scripture. Faith comes to you. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes into your life. And then you at that moment embrace Christ. And then Christ embraces you. And now you have only one life to live. The life of Christ. And when people see you and as Christ, they will understand what Christianity is all about. Remarkable. The majesty of the life in Christ. Remarkable here in Colossians. Now, the mystery of this life in Christ. There's a mystery. Here it is. Number one, the miracle of his coming. If you look in verse 27, Look at the very end in chapter 1 of Colossians, in verse 27, the Bible said, Christ in you, no around you. In the Old Testament, God was around the people, about the people, behind the people, in front of the people. But in the New Testament, Christ is in you. All right? In you. This is inward transformation. In the Old Testament, you will read laws and regulations to guide them. Now you don't have laws and regulations in the New Testament. Why? Because Christ is in you, and he it's like you have a car. Remember here in Radio Shack, there is a nice look. I want to buy one of those for me. It's a nice entertainment. And then you have a remote control, all right? They don't have a Ferrari, otherwise I will buy that. You know, and you have a nice entertainment. With a remote control, you guide the car. You saw children without any wire or anything, wireless. Now, you guide the car and the car moves all around. That's the Old Testament. God moves you through laws and regulations. Now, when you grow older, you buy a car and you drive the car inside. You go inside the car and you drive the car. That's what Christ wants to do with your life. He's inside you and wants to drive your life. Amazing. Amazing. The miracle of his coming. Christ in you. It's not by laws and regulations. It's not by doing things that God guides you. It's by letting God, through his word, guide your life. That's how it is. A Christian is a person who has Christ dwelling within. A person in Christ is a new person completely. Now, this is not automatically. The Bible said, John tell us these words. Remember, he said, if you love God, you obey his commandment. I wish I was a puppet. My wife will think I'm perfect then. But don't ask my wife about me. We made a covenant as we married. We will never talk about each other to anybody. I just only say it on the radio. That's all. All right. It has been good. Raquel has been good. You don't get a word of me about me from Raquel. It has been a treasure. A treasure. All right. Now, here's what we have here. We have the obligation to put the new coat. Now, you're in Colossians. Go back to Ephesians again. Page 690. Ephesians 4:24. Look at how Paul is very graphical when he talks, you know. He talks very right down to level that everybody understands. Ephesians 4:24. He knew the Ephesian church has some difficulties and some problems. And he did not say, well, go to a psychologist and see that the psychologist has studied who was your great, 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 great grandfather. And we blame him for whatever you're doing today. No. Look at chapter 4, verse 24. and that he put on the new man. He said, you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and through holiness. He said, guys, what you in Ephesians need is to let that new man put on. You have the new man, put it on. Put it on. The mystery of the life of Christ. He came into your life and he came into my life. Secondly, the measure. Look at in Colossians, go to Colossians again, 1:27. Look at the measure of that coming. How much? The Bible says, Christ in you. How much of God do you have? Christ. You have the whole thing. Now, who is Christ? Christ is the word in Greek. You spell this word like this in Greek. Christos. In Spanish, spell the word just like that. Christos. That's the Greek word. And Christos equal, you know the word in Hebrew, Messiah. All right? And so here it is, the measure of his coming. You got the Messiah in your heart, in your person, if you're a Christian. Now, what is the Messiah? Well, the Messiah was a prophet, a priest, and a king. All right? If you got the Messiah inside you, you got a prophet, you got a priest, and you got a king. And for Christ to be really in your life and my life, there must be three things to happen to you. Number one, you need to hear the undisputed prophet in our life. You need to hear Christ as the undisputed prophet, undisputed preacher in your life. Where do I hear him? You read over and over, not only the book of Proverbs, but do this for 3 months. Read every week Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. And don't argue with. Don't change the words either. Don't try to say the Bible says white, but it's black. Don't do that, please. It's going to hurt. Jesus, don't listen to Paul, don't listen to the whole Bible is the Word of God. But if you want the words of Jesus, remember what is called the Sermon of the Mount. Jesus sit down and about 6,000 people around and he taught them. So if you have Christ in you, you need to hear the undisputed prophet in our life. Also, you need to heed Christ as the undisputed priest in your life. You need to seek Christ as the undisputed priest in your life. Don't tell your problems anybody. Will you? I don't need to hear your problems. You don't need to hear my problems. But there is one who needs it. Christ. I don't have a page number, but if you put one hand in Colossians and you go with me to the left, to the book of Romans, just keep going in the left, a few books you find it. The book of Romans chapter 8. When you are in Corinthians, the next book is Romans. To the left, we are doing like Hebrew, moving right to left. That's good, no? Romans 8. And look with me in Romans 8 in verse 34. The Bible said these words, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. What is he doing over there? Who also makes intercession for us. That's what a priest is. See, a prophet speaks to you on behalf of God. A priest speaks to God on behalf of his people. In the New Testament, the Bible in the book of Revelation said, Revelation 1:6, that we are all priests. Why? Because we have Christ in us. And Christ is the Messiah. And the Messiah is a priest. And you can pray to him. And you can tell your frustrations. You can tell the frustrations about your family and about your work and about anything. You can pray about the Congress of the United States, how crazy it is. You can pray all you can. All right? You can pray for our president. You can pray. Christ is your priest. In the Old Testament, you cannot. Remember the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, save everything for one day, the Day of Atonement. And you tell the high priest, Aaron was the first high priest, remember? And the high priest will take your prayers, and he will come into the Holy of Holies. And he prayed for himself first, and then he come to the Holy of Holies. Only once a year. But now, every 10 seconds you can pray. Christ is the high priest. To know Christ in this sense is to know the mystery and measure of his indwelling. I think for some people, Christ is still a mystery. I think for some people, going to church is like a club. They go into church. I've been in church already. And that's it. It's a mystery. We are here to tell you that Christ can dwell in your life. You read the scripture, and at a given point, faith is going to be created. God is sparkle in your mind and in your soul, the life of Christ, and you become the child of God that you dream of. All right? The mystery of Christ. I hope Christ is no mystery to you. I hope so. Was a mystery for me for years. I hear the gospel from my grandmother. I was born in a Roman Catholic church, but the Roman Catholic church was very strict even in the school. I was born with rules and regulations. But one day, I understood the why, the rules and regulations. Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, the ministry of this life in Christ. We have the majesty, Christ in you. We have the mystery. Christ lives in you. The prophet, the priest, the king. So don't argue with Christ. He's the king. See, the Bible doesn't acknowledge democracy. God, you cannot vote. So God, I don't like that rule. Let's see. Let's vote together. Okay, out. You can. God doesn't like democracy. Democracy is the invention of man. God likes a king that follow him. See, a king who said, this is the way to go. A little bit like Bush is doing now. I do this. When the homosexuals want to get married, say, get out. This is the way to do. Kind like that. Now, the ministry of the life in Christ. Verse 27 again, and verse 28. So go back to Colossians 1, 27, 28. Here we have the ministry of this life in Christ. Alright? In Colossians, the page is 693, in case you lost it already. Okay, here it is. I'm going to pick up the pieces at the very end, of verse 27. Alright? And say, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now verse 28. Whom we preach. Now the apostle is telling the church of Colossus. Another Greek church. Whom we preach. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now the ministry of the life of Christ. Christ dwelling in us has a twofold ministry. Number one. The world must be rich through us. Look at what Colossians 1, 27 said. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now that changed the political panorama of America. It is not Mrs. Clinton as president that will save America. It is not McCain that will save America. It's you if you have Christ in you. Because there is hope for America if we Christians walk like Christians and talk like Christians and live like Christians. That's where the hope is. It's not in the politicians. I laugh when I see the news. I laugh and I write and send messages. You better get Christ. If I'm in jail, please visit me. The only hope for the world is you as Christian. That's the only hope for the entire world. You as Christian. God has designed the plan. People will see God through us. Isn't that amazing? The angels, you remember it, Ephesians 3. The angels said to God, boy, these dummies are not preaching right. Let me go and preach. And God said, no. I don't want the angels, the messengers of God to preach. Remember? God said, I want the people that I saved to preach. Amazing. Amazing. The only hope for this world is the Christians. He, God, used our bodies and lives as the vehicles for the expression of His love. Watch out when you deal with your wife or with your husband. Watch out when you deal with your children, because you have to deal in love. Otherwise, you are not dealing like Christ. He has our lips to speak. He has our hands to work. He has our feet to walk. He has our heart to love. That's Christ. That's Christ in you. Now, the world must be preached through us. See, verse 28, again, look at verse 28. It's very clear in verse 28 what he says. Him we preach. And what did Paul preach? Warning is number one, and teaching is number two. And that's what I do. In the morning, I warn you, in the evening, I teach you. See, I have to copy from the scripture what I'm going to do with you. I'm not free either. I'm your pastor, and I have to feed you with the scripture, but I have to do it in God's methodology. And he, right here in verse 28, said, warning every man and teaching every man. So I have to warn you, and I have to teach you. That's what I do. That's what we have two services. In the morning, I just give you the breakfast, and the evening, the heavy stuff, the dinner. No wonder if you miss the dinner, you are hungry, spiritually. Just as Jesus incarnate was God's conversation with man. When he became the incarnation of God, he was God's conversation with men. So we have become an extension of that incarnation. We are the extension of Jesus. And when we look in the world, we talk to people, we share with people as an extension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through us, the message of the gospel is communicated in its warning aspect. We tell people, don't cross the bridge of death because you go to hell without Jesus. You can be a member of the Tel Baptist Church. You can be a member of the great cathedral in Italy. But if you have no Christ Jesus, you go to hell. That's our warning. And then our teaching is, please follow Jesus in your life. Let the people see you, Jesus. Here's the conclusion. Christianity and you. See, we all said, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. So, boy, we all affected by this. Christianity and you. What people want to see and need to see is Christ in us. You know, I was trained in a German teaching seminary. You know how tough are the Germans. I played soccer in my life, and I played many times with the Germans. They know how to play with the Germans. They're tough. I studied in a German university. And you know how tough they are. You know, Monday, we have no class. Do they have class on Monday now, Brother Greg? I don't know. They do. All right. They have no class. Greg goes to the same seminary. Now they are Americans. But they have no class. Tuesday, first thing in the morning at 7 o'clock, we all sit down, 13 of us, for the graduate work. And you've been working with all your graduate papers, and you have everything you study, your Hebrew, your Greek, you got everything there on sit down. And came the dean of the school, and he said, everybody handle the checkbook. My first time, I said, hey, what is this going to buy? A new Buick? He has a Buick, you know. He said, no. She said, they want to know if you gave last Sunday to the church your tithe. If you don't give your tithe to your church, you do not belong to this seminary. And then, when you go to the graduate school for the doctorate, you have to give your tithe and your offering. Because the dean said, if you want to preach to people, you have to be the example. And then they check our life. You know what they did? They called our wives. And they sit down with our wives. Like a cup of tea. And they wouldn't get any information. They would not get it out. In other words, we were under the rigid eyes of people who were 70. No, not too bad, 70, no? 70. At that time, I thought they were super old, but now I think they are going. Yeah? 80. Some of them maybe 5. People, you take your hats on it. People who got 50 years of ministry. People who, you talk to their wife and you see the love of God coming to you. I think Victor and some of the people that go to Clear Lake have met the wife of my dean over there. Lovely person. See, Christianity in action is what the people need. And this can only happen when Christ lives in you. You say, well, Pastor, that is an impossible task. Yes, I agree. You think it was easy for Paul? No, it was not. So, how Paul handled this? Read verse 29 with me. Look at verse 29. You are in Colossians 1? Look at what he did in verse 29. He said, whereunto I also labor or toil, striving according to his working. So he is saying this remarkable thing. For this I'll toil, struggling with all his energy. Now sometimes we said, I'm going to do that. Forget it. You're going to fail. You have to say, God, give me that energy to represent you. God, give me that love of yours to love the people around me. God, give me that patience that I need for my life. God, humble yourself. Don't try to say, from now on I do that, because you fail the next step. Just request from God what you need. He's going to give it to you. You'll be surprised. He's going to give it to you. For this I told, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully worked within me. Pray, God, work within me. Clean my house. God, bless me. When I walk, people will see Christ Jesus. I tell you, it is not a matter of being a Baptist. It is not a matter of being a Protestant or a Catholic. It is a matter of really having Christ Jesus in us. Christ Jesus in us. And then let him judge Jesus out. First in your home, with your wife, with your husband, with your children, then around you. And very soon, people will recognize that you are a different person. Then comes the words of Peter in 1 Peter 3:15. Be ready to give an answer with meekness and kindness about the faith that is in you. Telling the people, it is not me. It's God who has changed my life. I'm so glad that on Wednesday we spend time in Starbucks with some of the young people I do. And I chat with Chris. And more I get to know Chris, more I get to know where he was and where he is today. And more he tells me about his last part of his life when he was in a different position is today. When I watch him today, I just go home thanking God for him, for David, for all these people who God has made a turnaround in their life. But God has made a turnaround in your life. Christ is not a superstar. He's just equal to all of us. We should be like that. With the joy of the Lord. See, when you are too far out, then when God changes you, there is a joy that you cannot hold it, you know? And now we are so used to, I'm born in a Christian home and all these, and we are so used to, but let's rejoice ourselves. We're Christian. We're different. We love the things of God. God, move me. In a way, the people will see the difference. But when that happens, then you can call yourself a Christian. Father, thank you. Thank you for the great and wonderful message of the gospel. Thank you that you overrule us. Lord, you know I'm no better than anybody of my brothers and sisters here, over the internet, over the radio. But you change me. And Father, I pray that each one of us who call ourselves Christians may walk like Jesus. Thank you for what you're going to do with us today. We are careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
to praise you, dear in love. I am nothing, I have nothing without you. Take my voice to pour it out, lifting songs of the mercy I have found. I am nothing, I am nothing without.
From your word, how challenging it is to be a Christian. We confess to you, we have no excuses. Sometimes we act on our own. Forgive us, O God, and renew in us the Spirit of Christ. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen.